Good morning, and welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Westerville. My name is the Reverend Heather Hicks, and I am here filling in for Pastor Mark today. For those of you who are watching and may be visiting with us for the first time, I am the Director of Youth and Family Ministries here, and Mark decided to take the day off, so I get a little opportunity to practice some of my skills. And it's wonderful to have you all with us today. Participating with me in service this morning will be Miss Dorothy, who will be my liturgist this morning, and also Lynn, who will be playing the music for us this morning. So let us come together and worship this morning. I do have a few announcements before we begin. Happy New Year, first of all, to all of you. I hope that you've had wonderful holidays and that those will continue as we continue in the Christmas season this week. With the start of the new year, that means Bible study. Pastor Mark has listed several opportunities for all of us to participate in. If we want to challenge ourselves this year as we're setting our goals for this new year to read the Bible, and there are several opportunities that you can read there, or you can contact our church office. Now is the time to sign up. It's the beginning of the year. We don't have anybody signed up for cookies this month. So if anybody wants to take that on, we need to have those signed up. But we also need sign up for liturgists and for flowers. Our flowers today are given by John Robbins in memory of Lori Robbins and their 53rd wedding anniversary. And you'll also see several other flowers around the church that were donated by various members of our congregation. And we thank all of you for the beauty that makes up this Christmas season. After church, we will be taking down our Christmas decorations, so anyone who can stay after, please do so. Also, if you see a poinsettia up here that you would like to take home, please feel free to do so today so that we can make sure they get plenty of water before they decide to go the other way. So those are the announcements that I have this morning. Let us begin our worship with the play of the prelude. Thank you.
Good morning. We all worship God every day, but today is special because it's Sunday. And Sunday is a day set aside to worship the Lord. And it happens to be the first Sunday of a whole brand new year for us. So we come to worship even more dedicated to our Lord. So let's do the call to worship. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. The nations shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Again, it's the new year, so we have a prayer for the new year. Dear Lord, in this new year, please give us a few friends who understand us and yet remain our friends, a work which has real value, without which the world would feel the poorer, a mind unafraid to travel the journey ahead of us, even though the trail be not blazed, an understanding heart, a sense of humor, time for quiet, silent meditation, the sense of your assuring presence, courage to face our own sinfulness, and forgive to live beyond our sins, and patience to wait things, with wisdom to know them when they come. We ask these things of you, knowing that you have already given us all that we need in Christ Jesus.
Glory be to God.
Happy New Year. It's so good to see you all here this morning. We may be few in number, but we are mighty in the Lord, are we not? Amen. I invite all of us to look inside that little child inside of us, since there are no children here this morning, because I know there are some children watching, and think back to a time when you were little, and there was something you really, really wanted that someone else had. I'm sure we can all think of it. When I was a little girl, I really, really, really wanted a very special pair of shoes. I really wanted them very badly because all of the girls at my school were wearing these beautiful black little shoes. But my family could not afford them. They were way too expensive. And my mom knew that I really, really wanted a pair of these little shoes, and she felt guilty every day that I could not have a pair of these shoes. Now, I'm sure that all of you out there have had a moment where you wanted something that someone else had, just like I did when I was little. And I will tell you that the story does have a happy ending. We had someone who donated some clothes, and in that bag of clothes was a pair of those shoes, and I wore them until they fell apart. I loved them so much. But sometimes we don't get what we want so badly. And so I'm going to challenge you all this year, because it's the first Sunday of the new year, that I don't want you just to read your Bibles. That was a challenge put forth by Pastor Mark for all of us. But I want to challenge each of us also to maybe think of five blessings. Because you see, when we think about all those things that we want, we will never be happy. Because we might get that thing, and then we'll want the next thing. And then we'll want the next thing. And we're never, ever happy because we're always wanting something more. But if we take time every day, 5 minutes a day, to be thankful for five things, and I'm not talking about five generic things like mom and dad or the house over your head. I'm talking about specific things. Get as specific as you can, like mom played a game with me today, or I got to read a book with dad, or grandma called, or I got to try out the new gizmo that I got for Christmas. Or maybe I got to send a card to a little boy or girl in the hospital. Think of things that you can be thankful for that you have that are very, very specific. And if you think of five things every day and write down five things from each day this year, think about how many things you will have to be thankful for at the end of the year when you go back and you look over your list. Because that causes us each day to not think about what we want, but to think about and be grateful for what we already have. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you so, so much for the gift of gratitude which you have given to us. Sometimes all we can think about, oh God, is what we want. But if we really focus in on what we already have and be grateful for even the little things, we will be closer to your love than we have ever been. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
And now let's read the Word of God. The Old Testament scripture this morning is Exodus 20, 1 to 17. Most of us know that this is the Ten Commandments, and we've heard them so often in our lives and so often in reading the Bible that we kind of just run through them. But today I would ask you to really think of them as I read through them and have the Holy Spirit speak to you.
Exodus 20, 1 through 17.
Excuse me, I'll try to get over here. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, your Lord,
God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquities of parents to the third and fourth generation, and of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to those for the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make a wrongful use of the name of your Lord, your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath for your Lord, your God, and do not do any work for you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and made earth and the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your mother and father, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving you. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witnesses against your neighbors. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, nor shall you covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, nor ox, nor donkey, nor anything that belongs to your neighbor. And that's the Old Testament. Now we go to the New Testament, and we see in Matthew 22, verse 34, we see how Christ took the Old Testament, all the commandments, and boiled them into two. And we all know that one, too. We've all read it 100,000 times. But it's good today to try to see it as new, to absorb it, to know that this is part of what God wants for you. So this is what Christ did. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You can see how Christ took all the commandments from the Old Testament and put them into those two in the New Testament. So praise the Lord and thanks be to his scripture.
Thank you, Dorothy. Now you might be asking yourselves why at the beginning of the new year, we're still technically in the season of Christmas, did I pick these two passages of scripture? I'm gonna pull this out so you can hear me a little better, no matter which way I look, because we're all over the sanctuary today. But I want to glance at especially the last commandment that Dorothy read in the Old Testament. Do not covet. Do not covet your neighbor's house, their spouse, their animals, their servants. Do not covet anything that your neighbor has. Now, this is the last in the long line of commandments given to Moses by God during the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. And because it's one of the Ten Commandments, we know it quite well. It's written on flyers, billboards, perhaps even cross-stitched on a pillow or on a picture hanging in your house. I have seen the Ten Commandments everywhere. Everyone knows them, whether they are a Christian or a Jew or some other faith or of no faith. We all know the Ten Commandments. But they are really important to us as people of faith. And we know that we shouldn't covet what our neighbor has. But it's hard, especially this time of year when we think about Christmas, when we're giving gifts. It is one of the most difficult times of the year for covetousness because we know that presents are coming. And we remember the gift of Jesus, but we also remember that family and friends are requesting our wish list for this year, right? Commercials are shoving their products in our face to meet their year-end goals. And we are surrounded by people who are begging us to covet this product that you see on or with a particular model or a particular group of people. Now, this may or may not surprise you, but thousands, if not millions of Americans, are willing to go into debt for Christmas so that they can have a quote-unquote good Christmas for their families. What are we supposed to do? How can we who struggle with envy and jealousy possibly move on? Well, you heard some of what I shared in my children's message this morning, but I got that wonderful thought from Desmond Tutu, who passed away recently here in the last couple of weeks. And in the Book of Joy, he was interviewed along with the Dalai Lama, and they talked about envy and jealousy, covetousness. And he said, "I think that one of the best ways you can begin to counter it is that old one of counting your blessings." Now that might sound very old grandfatherish style, but yes, it does help. You know, you might not have a big as big a house as that person, but you know what? You're not living in a shack or on the street. So being thankful for the things that you do in fact have can help. The very best is being able to ask yourself, why do I want to have a house that has 7 rooms when there are only 2 or 3 of us? Why do I want to have it? I think that leaves wonderful room for us. But his good friend, the Dalai Lama, who was also there, followed it up with this. Most important is to develop a sense of concern for others' well-being. If you have genuine kindness or compassion, then someone who gets something or has more success, you are able to rejoice in their good fortune. For a person who is committed to compassion practice, a genuine sense of concern for others' well-being. Then you will rejoice in others' good fortune because you will be happy that what that person aspires for is being obtained. Quite enlightening, the 2 Sundays after Christmas. Do not these 2 sound like our passage from Matthew and the 2nd greatest commandment? If we concentrate on loving God and one another, it will be more difficult to be jealous and easier to love our neighbor. Now, we have all heard this before. I'm not preaching anything new. I might as well be preaching to the choir, as small as we are today. Covetous is, in fact, reflective of the individual and personal commitment that we have when we read the scriptures. Or is it? Now, we've all heard this. If we look at it from a different perspective, not one of the individual for our own personal needs, but as a community, as we read the scriptures, does it change? Let's look at it from a position of our church family. Do we, the church, not also covet? Are we not envious of another church for their building, attendance, youth programs, or mission trips? I can tell you that even I have been guilty as a member and as a church leader of communal envy. As a child growing up within the church and now serving this church, I cannot help but be envious of how the church I grew up in was able to bring in so many children. How did they do it? How can I implement that here? How can I make parents want to bring their children to church? How can I make people feel welcome in our building enough to want a repeat visit? We've all thought this, haven't we? Every single one of us in here has thought those words. The truth of the matter is that I cannot take one experience, my childhood experience, and apply it to another. This is a very different setting than the one I grew up in. And wanting to produce the same results for a different generation is also pretty futile. I had forgotten to give thanks for what I already have. I have forgotten that I must first love God, not numbers. I must be grateful that other churches in my community are meeting certain needs that perhaps we cannot. Aren't we all in this together? Should we not rejoice that others are meeting specific needs in our community? We're all sharing God's love with one another. We're all connected to the one who loves us and wants to know that we are happy. God does not expect us to be like everybody else. After all, Jesus did not spend all his time in the temple, did he? We only read a few stories in the Bible of Jesus in the temple. Jesus traveled. He met people where they were. Jesus continues to meet people where they are. Is the temple important? Is the church important? Of course it is. It's absolutely important. But what is more important? Jesus tells us the second greatest commandments cover all the bases of the 10. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. All 10 of them, if you think about it, reflect on those two greatest commandments. So how are we, the members of First Presbyterian Church in Westerville, called as a community in covenant with God? You see, just like the Jews received the covenant of God through Abraham, we have a covenant too. It is the new covenant in Jesus' blood and in Jesus' body, which we remember on Communion Sunday. It is a new covenant. So how are we upholding that covenant with God? How are we called to love God and share God's amazing love with our community and even the world? It may look very different to the cookie cutter standards that many churches continue to maintain, but I can assure you that God is with us every step of the way. As we make new steps into the new year, I ask that you search your individual soul, heart, and mind for how you can follow these two great commands. But I also challenge all of us sitting here and all of those at home, to rethink what is possible and how can we move from covetousness to connection and covenant with the one who gave us the ability to spread love in amazing ways. May God bless you. May God bless us on this journey. And may we thank God for all that is coming in the new year. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we know that we are not perfect. We know that we find it difficult sometimes to follow your commands. But we also know that you are there with us, showing us the amazing things in our lives, even if we are unwilling or unable to see. Please open our eyes to what we do have. Help us to recognize your Spirit moving in new and amazing ways. Help us to be guided by the blessing of your Holy Spirit so that we might share and spread your love to all the world. Amen. May be seated. I know there are many that we need to remember this day. Let us go to God in prayer, in thanksgiving, and in sorrow, wherever we are in our lives. Let us go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, as we enter into a new year, some of us are sad or angry, perhaps even jealous. Oh God, we wonder if we can get out of bed at all sometimes. Somehow we manage, because we know, oh God, that you are there, even if we are unaware of it. Oh God, we pray for all of those who are hurting this season. Perhaps they are ill in body, soul, or mind. Perhaps they are mourning loss. We pray, O God, for all of those who are still celebrating this day. For it is indeed a joyous time of year, the beginning of a new year, the birth of your son, Jesus, the coming of the wise men later this week. Almighty and loving God, may we recognize January 6th each and every year as an epiphany, not just for those wise men, but for each and every one of us, as we recognize that we are not alone in this world, that we recognize you are with us in joy or in sorrow, in heartache, and in health. We pray, O God, for all of those around our world who are indecisive, for a world, a country divided when we should be united. None of us are the same. Every one of us is different. Every one of us carries a different experience, oh God. Help us not to covet what each other has, but to rejoice and celebrate in all of the successes. For success does not come without multiple failures beforehand, as we struggle and strive to reach your goals. As we enter into the new year, O God, as we make goals for ourselves, may we keep you always in mind, and our neighbors as well, as we strive to do your will here in this place. And it's in Jesus' name that we learn and say the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May the God who provided the covenant with us first back with the Israelites be with us all as we go from this place into our week and into next week and into the next year. Blessings on all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.